This is what you're getting. Here's our recounting of Adepticon. Did anybody see anything cool? No. Cool. The end. Take care, everyone. Tuck yourselves in and have a good one. What do you think of the crystal brush? Oh, none of us saw it.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 95th episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for April 2019. In this episode, we have Community Pat and Tyler Schultz on to wrap up Adepticon for this year. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of the show. Now on to the episode. Welcome to Dead Zone the Podcast, episode 95. Trying to wrangle these guys. We have some special guests, but I'm Rob.
And according to Dr. Mark, I'm Rob.
Oh. Hey, give his real name.
Oh, I apologize. Dr. Mark, PhD, PPCLI, Esquire, LCC.
LLC.
MLK.
Yes. Yeah, it's all right. I was Jack sometimes, too. It's all good, Jack.
Okay.
And with us today, we have two Yahoos. We have Community Pat and Tyler Golden Boy Schultz.
Hello.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
He is now a barker for the circus for some reason.
Yeah, why not? You know, this show's already off the rails and we've only been on for like a minute, so let's just keep it going.
Well, I've only been recording for a minute. It's been a good half an hour of trying to get you guys to start recording, so. We're gonna talk about Adepticon. This is the Adepticon wrap-up show 2019. If you don't want to hear it, get lost. We don't care.
Yeah.
We only got five more of these anyway, so I was gonna swear, but I don't want to edit it, so. Well, that's easy. I could just take that right out.
Oh.
You have to wait until I'm actually saying something and then you. Not quite good enough, but we'll get there. So we're going to talk about Adepticon, our experiences, our hopes, our dreams, our nightmares, how it went. And, anybody want to start? No?
Are we doing a chronological order, or are we just doing a highlight?
I don't think any of us has the brain power to get chronological order here.
Oh, I was going to say, that's the best way to do it.
Let's do chronological. I think we can do it.
Yeah.
So we got there Tuesday, right?
That is correct.
See, I'm already screwed up. Jack and I flew in this year, which is great.
Yep, and you got picked up by some really cool Uber guy.
Yep. I didn't tell Jack who was going to pick us up, and all of a sudden, a fellow named Community Pat showed up. A fella.
A very pleasant surprise.
And I also, when we're waiting for our bags, Jack's like, oh, it's starting to go, or it could be soon. I'm like, God, jeez, child, mister, I haven't traveled much. Come on, there's no chance. It's going to be like a good half an hour. Oh, those are us right there. Oh. So we got our bags like first thing, and that was nice. And then we met Community Pat, Patrick, who picked us up and put us to work, I believe.
Well, yeah, I think we went straight to work, didn't we?
No, we didn't. Didn't we have lunch first?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we did have lunch first. Pat bribed us with lunch before putting us to work. That's right.
We went to Buena Beef. That's right.
Jack, yes. Jack got to experience the sausage with roast beef on top.
Italian beef.
Yeah.
Apparently, both Tyler and Pat let me know that is a very, very specifically local thing. Italian beef on sausage.
Italian sausage.
Yeah, that's actually one of my biggest regrets from this Adepticon is I didn't get any of the classic Chicago cuisine. I didn't get a Portillo's or any of the like. I didn't get any deep dish pizza, so I'm a little sad about that, but, everything else was pretty dang sweet.
Yeah, we never got deep dish pizza either. We never got Chicago style. This is the first time we never got to Illuminati's for like 3 years. It's kind of depressing.
Yeah, we did other things though.
Well, we had, what was it, Target brand pizza? Well, I'll get to that though. was after one of the marathons of the days.
So Tuesday. Oh yeah, that's right. That was the day we put Rob in the back of the truck.
For legal purposes, we can't actually say that for two long trips, Rob was in the back of a Ryder truck.
Well, it was three, wasn't it? Because we had Pat got a delivery after we already made it to the storage place to get more stuff, so we had to go all the way back to his house.
Well, it was all the Adepticon stuff that got sent, and so we had to go back and get it.
Yeah. So that was fun. But we loaded up the truck, which has saved us a lot of time on Wednesday, which was good.
Yeah, because we got set up early. We were done, so let's see, we got there around 10?
On Wednesday, yeah.
Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're done before you got there, right, Tyler? We're pretty just wrapping up.
No, I was there for a good chunk of the setup. Basically, yeah, I flew in on Wednesday. My trip went without a hitch. It was amazing. I never pre-pick my seat or anything on the airplane, and my airplane seat happened to be like in the second row, so I was like the first one off the plane. And then just like you guys with the baggage, my bag was like the fourth one to fall out of the carousel. So that was awesome. And, yeah, zero travel hitches. Got to Adepticon on Wednesday. You had the floor of the thing set up and a lot of the shelves were being put up. So then I helped out with whatever else needed to be done, hanging up Vanguard blisters and whatnot.
Yeah.
But setup was quick, man. It was really quick because we had like 1,000 volunteers. Like looking around at all the other booths, like no one else had any volunteers, and we had just like a group of people just hanging out, putting up stuff. It was pretty sweet, I thought.
Yeah, I think it went really organized this time. I don't know if it was because we prepared the day before and we had all the shelves really ready. But and you had that new rack with the blister packs on, that saved us trying to hang all the, or put up all the Walking Dead stuff that would fall off the shelf constantly.
Yeah.
That was like a major leap forward. Everything else is in boxes now, pretty much, which is really nice. So yeah, the booth was set up. I don't think there was anything too much. That's when I started to feel bad. I was recovering from the flu, and I thought I was okay. But then after helping set up, I was starting to feel bad again.
Oh yeah, but then we also Ronnie and Rob and
yep.
Andrew Sharp showed up and gave hand.
Yes, well, we saw them the night before too because we went to that.
Oh, they came on Tuesday. That's right. We went to the tavern place and got.
Yep, we met up with John Jack too. He was there.
A few hundred beers.
But so they all showed up, and then Rick and Brian showed up too, and they came right. I think they were the ones that came right at the end. They helped us set up the upstairs with the. Everything.
Oh yeah. Most importantly, Rick's wife brought or gave Rick to bring some homemade cookies, which were very good.
So. Cookies and brownies, and there was
a hundred, thumbs up,
like 100 dozen.
Yeah, there was tons of different. Every time you look over, it's a different set of foodstuffs. It was very good. Provide us energy. Anybody else? I don't know. Anybody else have anything to say about setup? I can't really. It was a standard setup, I think, just quick.
Yeah. Got it up and down, or up. Roughly the same time, you know. I mean, it helps with that new rack and the new cubes.
Yes.
I will say that I brought special work clothes and a shirt and to do the setup. And we'd only been there 2 days at that point, and already my work pants didn't fit. I've eaten so much. That is not a joke. I kind of squeezed myself. Pat knows where to eat. And and the night before, we drank about a dozen beers each, and we ate very well. I had like a brisket burger. It was, I was having trouble fitting into my clothing by the second day.
Yeah.
What did I have?
You had a regular burger, I think, didn't you? I don't know.
No. Well, I think I went somewhere.
Oh, no, you went to some kind of mixed platter of all different meats.
Oh, that's right. I went with the whole barbecue stuff.
Well, that's what Ronnie had, too. He was sitting beside me, and it looked amazing, that mixed barbecue platter. There was all kinds of stuff. He dug into that real good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have good food.
He loves his barbecue, that's for sure.
So then Wednesday night, I think that's the crazy night. Jack stayed behind because you wanted to get your, you had won a VIG bag, so.
Yes. Wednesday night was Pathfinder night.
So you stayed behind to get your VIG bag. Do you have any exciting stories about VIG bag getting, Jack?
Yes, and I opted to stand in line and get the feel of the crowd and to be a part of the mayhem that is Adepticon right at the beginning, rather than go with you guys. And, my standing in line, my queuing up does not measure, to what you guys got up to that night.
But, so nothing exciting happened? You met up with Beetle, right?
I saw him in the line behind me. The thing is, there were so many people this year. So many. The VIG line I was in was like, when I got into the line, I was like, oh, I'm way far back. I'm probably the last one for VIG. And the line kept queuing up behind me as long as the regular lines every other year for Adepticon for the VIG. The regular lines were, I couldn't even see the end of them. But since Beetle somehow ended up, he volunteered to fill the swag bags. So he got to come into the VIG line as a reward. So I got I waved at him. Hey, buddy.
Yeah, so that's cool. And, we'll talk about what you got, what we all got in the packs later. But yeah, VIG, you won the lottery.
It was a lot of stuff. That's all I know.
Yeah. Too much. Well, it was ridiculous, but we'll get to that. So that's about it, Jack. You have nothing else that you did exciting? There must have been something exciting while we were gone for like 8 hours. You went back to the room, slept, enjoyed yourself.
Well, I got all that stuff back to the hotel room. I didn't open it up. I waited until you guys showed up from your wild and wacky ride. And I believe that was the night I watched Tom Cruise in The Mummy while I was waiting, which I don't want to alarm anyone. Not a good movie.
What?
Shocking, I know, but you know, they're going to have a hard time getting that Universal Monsters,
Dark Universe?
Monsters cinematic universe off the ground with that kind of showing. But anyways, yeah, and I was on Discord. A lot of our friends and we have the Discord, so I sent the picture of the VIG bag and the everything on top of the bag that I bring all my clothes and everything in, and it was twice as big, three times as big. There's no way I was, So I think I that was it.
This has started your whole week of worrying about what you're going to do with all this crap.
Yeah, Rob, you know me. You know that I'm a pretty Spartan. I don't like clutter. I think Marie Kondo is a hoarder. I like everything like just get up and go. And yeah, so yeah, I worried for a full week, and things still have not been resolved. So I like the worry is still real. And I never got to make any purchases that I wanted to in the vendor hall based on it. So yeah.
No, stop.
The beginning of my misery.
Jack has like a complex. It's pretty disturbing actually.
it's not even the top 10 of things that give the creeps, actually, but.
Well, we'll get to that too, the dealer hall and some of the issues we had with that, but, we gotta remember to talk about this later. Talk about the VIG bag, talk about the vendor hall. But, while Jack was off, enjoying his solitude and worrying about what he can bring home, the rest of us went to Whirlyball. Pat, tell everyone what Whirlyball is, if you can even try to explain what Whirlyball is.
Whirlyball, in the easiest sense, is a game of lacrosse and basketball mixed together. But instead of running in a field, you're running around in bumper cars.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I still have bruises from it. That's all I know.
Yeah. And regardless of what people say, that is where the idea for Dreadball came from.
Yeah. It's, I can see it. It's, the slow beginnings of Dreadball. You're not in bumper cars, but, the idea of the scoops and getting into a little hole, I can see that.
Yeah.
And it is delightful. And it turns out, it's extremely fun. And it turns out I'm pretty good at it. That's what I found out.
Yeah, well, that's pretty fun. I am wounded. I still have leg issues.
Rob Berman nearly got himself impaled on his bumper car joystick.
Yeah, he had a big bruise. I had a bruise on my inner thigh from that joystick, but he had one right in his stomach. And but yeah, you're kind of wedged into a little bumper cars, and you're slamming each other, getting whiplash. This was not the best thing to do. Well, A, I was already sick. And then we have a whole week of, another, I don't know, 5 days of at a convention trying to deal with the injuries afterwards. Everybody was, like, a little sore.
Well, and then to top it off, it's, you know, they serve beer there, so.
Yes, that was the only thing that saved everyone was drinking, so that we numbed our pain.
Yeah. You guys are making it sound like it's a hard ordeal. Like, I highly recommend Whirly Ball to anybody. If you have a Whirly Ball place near you, which is not very common at all, but if you are, A, it's the most American thing in the world, and B, it's extremely fun. Highly recommend it.
What people don't realize is how tiring it can be and how rough it can be, especially when you get the booze in and then you start hacking. Like that one time I got poked in the side by 4 different people.
Oh, Ronnie was getting bad. He kept slashing the things out of my hand and
jabbing at me like I was a Christmas turkey.
And that's why Ronnie and I were so good at it.
Violent.
Yep. Yeah, you gotta bring out that true Dreadball nature, you know? Yeah. I don't see no rev.
My reference is when the day before we went over to get a burger, and Ronnie and Andrew and Rob were over having their lunch, so we sat beside them. And the whole time, Ronnie was playing a 20 questions type of thing about what they were doing that night. So he'd say, he'd say yes or no, and they'd, does it have a ball? And he'd say yes or no, but he'd only give them so many questions. And at one point he was like, oh no, I've given them too much information. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't know if that's true at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even that they couldn't guess it, it's just they can't even fathom the idea of it. That was probably one of my favorite things about that whole experience was, well, A, getting to meet all the English contingent, that was fun, because I've never met Rob Berman or Andy Sharp or, you know, Nick Williams. And so it was really fun to talk to all them, but the fact that there's just no way they ever could have guessed that, because it's not even on their radar. It's amazing.
Yeah, and then Rick and Brian, they were playing too, and they look it up. They have one like 20 minutes from their house. They're like, oh god, we're going to do this all the time. There's whirly balls everywhere. But it's, it was fun. There was, I think there was 14 of us there?
15. Oh yeah, 14, because we had to play with...
Yeah, we had one man down at all times.
Yeah.
If Jack had shown up, it would have been perfect. He could have been the ringer.
Oh, dear God.
That's foreshadowing for the rest of the weekend. But yeah, we made it out of Whirly Ball. We made it home, and it was fun. It was fun. There was a lot of laughs, and it was definitely an experience. I don't know if I'd do it every year, but it was something to do, that's for sure.
It's expensive.
Yeah, that's another thing. Thanks to Mantic Games and Ronnie for paying for our ways to do it, because, yeah, it's also something you probably couldn't afford to do all the time. So that was fun. And that led us to, we made it back to the... Tyler, I don't know, we were in different cars coming back, so we never saw each other. But I went and got my bag, and then it was pouring rain out, so I had to walk back to the hotel in pouring rain carrying all the swag. And I get there, and Jack's laying in his bed full of swag.
you just got to spread out like that money scene from... Whatever it was where the guy paid.
Yeah, Indecent Proposal or whatever.
Yeah. Yes.
It was pretty much.
At Redford and Demi Moore.
See, the pun here. The pun we're all looking for is the in D6.
Proposal?
Yeah, in Proposal. Yeah.
No one was looking
for No, that was terrible time.
Oh, no, everyone was looking for it.
that was quickly discarded.
But, So we started, I forced Jack to start, unboxing because I was like, he's like, we should wait for Tyler. I was like, screw that kid. We're doing it now. So we started
Who
going.
Who did you ride home with?
I was with you. I went to your house, remember? We had to pick up some stuff for Vanguard and whatnot.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So I was with Pat and then.
Who did you ride with, Rob?
I was with Brian Novak was driving and I think I had Nick Williams and who else was in there? Rick and there was one other person. Brian Wade. That's who was with. So I had both Brians, Rick and Nick. But yeah, so I made it back first because we dropped Nick off and then we went right back to the convention center. But yeah, so we unboxed. Do you want to talk about the unboxing now, Jack, or wait till later?
Honestly, I don't remember it all. there was a lot. There was a ton. The highlight is I looked at Song of Ice and Fire and said, I cannot. This is as long as my duffel bag that I carry all my stuff in. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a nightmare. And then a young precocious Schultzy was giddy with delight looking at all of the plastic within. And I said, there you go. It's yours.
I thank you yet again for it. That's amazing.
Well, you saved me vital space. So I think that's a draw. We're both happy with that transaction. That's for sure.
Take this off.
Okay. As long as we're both happy. Yeah. Well, then I'm good to go.
Take this off my hands.
Yes.
Exactly.
So everybody with a bag got Song of Ice and Fire starter set, which is Lannisters versus Starks. So everybody got that. Everybody who got the bags. Their bags were seemed very limited this year, more than usual. A lot of people said they didn't get a bag this year. But, and also, what was the other one? What is it? Omega 7? No, what is it? What's that? Level 7 invasion game, horde game. And then that was what I got, plus all the other stuff. You get I think I got a Guild Ball team. I got the Farmers, I think. What else did we get? There was a few other things in the regular bag. But then Jack's bag, it came with so much more.
It had two Guild Ball teams, and yep. It had the blacksmiths that I wanted from last year, so that I was happy there. Another highlight was a Bones Black, like a Freedy woman.
Oh, yes, right.
That really caught my eye.
What's your
thought? And there was a... Two giants from Game of Thrones. Those are the highlights for me that I can remember.
What are you saying, Pat?
But there was a lot.
What was your thoughts on that Bones Black?
It was a large, pretty interesting model, and it really piqued my curiosity. I think Rob mocked me at the time because he was like, "That's probably the cheapest thing in that goddamn bag," and I was fawning over it. But that's just the way I am. It caught my interest, and I look forward to painting it.
Yeah. Spoiler alert: Jack does not have any of these items, so he can't speak to anything more than that initial look.
I do have a lot of the items. I was able to pack a lot of them.
There was also the Octun Cthulhu Skirmish Game starter set, which is just the books and cards and stuff, which is cool, because I have the role-playing game, so it's nice to have that, too. Jack gave that to me. What else did we get in there? There's a bunch of stuff. There's a bunch of books.
There was like a Privateer Press big board game, right? Wasn't there like a War Machine-based
Right. You got the Underdark board game. Yep, that was there. That was in the VIG. I forgot about that.
Yes. That is in Michigan right now as we speak.
Spoilers. What was it? Something else you got that I was like, oh yeah, that was cool. Oh, you got that, I think it was a GW, but it was a journal of some sort, which was really nice. It was like just a normal journal to write in, but it was like leather bound and other than I think it had a Sigmar symbol on the front. It was just a really nice journal.
It was a Warhammer, blue Warhammer,
There is no Warhammer anymore, Jack. It's called Age of Sigmar.
Yeah, but it actually had like a band on it that said Warhammer. And it had a hammer with lightning in it.
Yeah, that's
engraved, it like embossed in the front. And, yeah, it was nice, but there was a lot. And I sent a picture to the Discord about how much stuff was there, and I don't know if the gravity of it really sunk into a lot of people.
No, seeing it in person is basically just ridiculous. I mean, it is like truly a ridiculous amount of stuff.
So you ended up giving, like, I also got the Invasion game and the Song of Ice and Fire. We ended up giving one of the Invasion games to, I think, to one to Pat, and then the other one went to Coach via Fabian, didn't it? I think so. I think we gave the other one to him. Because there were three-player games, and both me and Jack were like, oh, we're never going to have three players to play this game. We don't need this game. And I think Tyler didn't want it.
It's still sitting on the floor in my living room.
And we gave one of the Guild Ball teams. I think I gave mine to Tyler, and then you gave yours to the Farmers to Shane, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I forget what night it was. Oh, maybe it was Mantic Night. I forget now. But Shane just says, I need some. Do you know someone who had the VIG? I need to get a Guild Ball team. And I just kind of lifted my thing up. I said, whatever you want, you got. And the next day, I just slipped in there. And he was doing a demo. And I walked up, and I kind of lifted it up to him. And he looked at me, and it was through a haze. He's like, he's showing me this for a reason. I wanted that. What's going on?
And he didn't remember asking for it?
He did. He did. Then he looked over to the two guys that were doing the demo and goes, I may have been drinking. So I slipped that in behind there for him.
I've been drinking.
You know what's nice about it is that he wanted something, and I had it available. And you know how you just like just make someone happy with just like a – it was like that. He was like, oh, I need this. And I was like, I've got it. It was just one of those things where you just – there's no question. You just, oh, here you go.
Yeah, it worked out nicely.
So I'm looking forward to seeing him, how he paints them all up, because he's a good painter. I look forward to seeing what he does with them.
I know he's painted the pumpkin so far. I know he posted a picture of the pumpkin. So
yes,
he is making that. Good on the models.
Good.
I know at one point Jack was literally throwing things in the garbage. There was cards or some for the, I'm sure you could have sold it, but you're like, I don't care. Tossed a bunch of stuff in the garbage.
It was a set of, we're lingering on this swag bag. This is what the Adepticon hasn't even started yet chronologically.
It's
we're
true.
Like an hour and a half into this show. Something did need to make room.
I just want people anyway. To realize your level of, you refuse to keep anything. You're like, no, I don't need this. I'll never need this. I don't want to bother selling it. Toss. Didn't even give it to somebody. You just threw it in the garbage.
Okay, so I'm not wasteful. There was a, I depackaged a lot of stuff. So like the blacksmith's miniatures were just rattling around in my clothes. Anything that I could take the packaging off of and then
clothes.
Dense it down. So yes, there was a lot in the garbage, but it was
save a lot of space if you take stuff out of boxes, though.
Yes, I all the clamshells and stuff. I risked damage rather than not keep taking it. Like I stuffed everything. It was a concern for a full week.
So then we get to Thursday. What happened Thursday, people? By then I was fully sick and I was kind of out of it, and I apologize to anybody who may have talked to me or tried to interact with me, because I think I was pretty out of it by Thursday. Thursday and Friday were the worst days for me, for sure.
Friday, you were.
Yeah. You didn't notice?
I didn't even notice, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I put up a good front, but I was dying. Thursday, yeah. So Pat by then was stuck in the booth. That was the rest of his weekend.
Full blown moving. Yeah, that's the end of my story.
But, so I guess I can take us through Thursday then.
Sure. What did you do Thursday?
Sure. Yeah. So Thursday was one of the least packed in terms of scheduled days. So we got to kind of start late and kind of, you know, wake up and eat the hotel breakfast and kind of leisurely make our way over there. I think we made our way over there separate times every day. But so yeah, basically started out with we got to see the booth in action. That's always fun. Get to see the people clamoring over all the Mantic stuff, because it's all super regular to us and we all stay on top of things, but a lot of people have never seen stuff like Hellboy or, you know, Vanguard or anything like that before, so that was kind of fun. And from there, my Thursday kind of goes along these lines. Basically, I started playing, I needed to brush up a little bit on Vanguard because the Vanguard tournament was Friday morning, and Thursday seemed like a pretty good day to brush up on the rules and get some games under my belt. I got to meet up with Rusted Beetle, a friend of the show, Rusted Beetle, who had a very, very beautiful table slash scenery set up, and he was playing a game with Brian Novak of Michigan, and they were playing, and eventually Brian got called to the booth, so I got to play against Beetle. I finished out the game that Brian set me up for failure with. In traditional Beetle fashion, it's Beetle's first game ever, and he completely G-stomped the person that was playing against him. So, yeah, that was really fun. I actually got to play a game with Beetle, because I, you know, we talked to him a lot online in the Discord and whatnot, but it was really fun to actually, you know, interact in that way and actually play a game, which is something I've never done with him. So that was a real good time.
Yep.
From there, since I kind of picked up that game halfway through, I was like, well, Beetle, do you want to play a proper game? And he goes, oh, yeah, sure, let's do it. And so I started unpacking my Vanguard stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I realized I'm a model short. I'm actually, I forgot my Ogre Warlock at home, like Colorado. Yeah. So in a slight panic, I kept my cool, but I was like, crap, I really need this, and I can't squeeze the points, and I can't add enough items to compensate for, you know, an Ogre Warlock. I need something to do. I need to figure out a way to proxy this or something of those lines. So in a somewhat hurried fashion, we went down to the vendor hall. Mantic Games booth happened to have one Ogre Warlock that I didn't even get to see because Beetle was so fast. He picked it up, and I don't know. I guess he's just the nicest guy in the world, but he actually got it for me and handed me the model. And so I have a fresh Ogre Warlock still in the blister, and I need a way to make him look like he's part of my team. So basically from there, I put it together, glued it up, and wasn't satisfied with just a metal miniature next to the rest of my painted miniatures. So I went down to the Reaper painting station, and in about an hour or so, I painted my Warlock from... unfortunately, I didn't get to prime it. There's no place to prime, but there was a place to paint. So I painted straight on the metal like a savage and painted up an Ogre Warlock. And I'm honestly really, really happy with that Ogre Warlock, and I think Reaper actually kind of sold me on their paints, too, because I really enjoyed the way the paints worked and, you know, the thickness and how they stuck to the model and yada yada.
Just don't fall in love with any of the Reaper lines because it'll just dash your hopes.
Bitter.
Spoken with true experience and sour, sour bitterness.
We'll get to that.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing.
But towards the tail end of my painting excursion, Andy Sharp actually came down and visited me. He gave me a beer and said, hey, come on upstairs when you're done. It was great. I got to go upstairs and got to talk to...
Who's Andy Sharp?
Andy Sharp of Way to Fire fame.
Yeah,
from across the pond. And so I got to hang out with him and Jeff Swan and Dominic, who's also from the UK. He's the Clash of Kings champ, or Mantic Clash of Kings champ who got to fly over. And that was really fun. I got to meet them and really get to know them really well and got to talk about Kings of War and whatnot. So that was a great time. From there, I got recruited into the Kings of War Speed Tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Which I was planning on playing Dreadball League in a night, and I brought my Dreadball team to play in that. But unfortunately, I got called in a different direction, or fortunately, depending on how I view this, I guess. So, yeah, I got to play in the Kings of War Speed Tournament, which was extremely fun. Unfortunately, there's only four people playing, but I did warn them that I got recruited like a ringer, but I am by no means a ringer. I went undefeated. I tied my last game, but somehow ended up on top.
How was that with the time? It's
extremely fun. Yeah, it's really, really fun. So you start out, if anyone doesn't know how this works, basically the first round is 25 minutes long. The next round, or on the chess clock, so each player has 25 minutes. On the second round, you get 20 minutes. And so the first round is based on the points, which is 1,200 points. It's pretty comfortable. You don't feel like you need to rush, really. The 20-minute round, you definitely have to think a little faster, get the dice ready a little faster. And then in the final round that we did, it was only 15 minutes per person. And so basically, you know, you're playing a 1,200-point game of Kings of War in under an hour. And that was exhilarating. Like, that was really, really fun. That's where the speed tournament really just kicks it up another notch, and it just becomes almost like a separate game. But I still got to use, you know, valuable practice for my army for the Saturday-Sunday event, and it was just a blast. Like, how fast you have to go in that last round is, it's really, really heart-racing and really fun. So if anyone is skeptical or doesn't know how a speed tournament works or hasn't played in a speed tournament, I would definitely recommend that you try it, because it's unlike most things, and there's very few games where you can actually pull this off with, but Kings of War is clean enough that you can. So that was pretty great. And that pretty much wraps up my Thursday. I don't know exactly what you guys did, but somehow I ended up winning that speed tournament, and I got a copy of Here's Negan, which I have yet to open, but I am intrigued by. So that's Thursday for me.
Well, I think it really goes to Jack, because Tyler dropped out of the Dreadball tournament, Jack was brought in as a ringer.
Yes, so League of the Night, which let me preface this by saying I've played one game of Dreadball of first edition against the ever affable Jeff Burbage, whom in his great patience teaching and his great mercy just smoked me like a he treated me so roughly and so aggressively that it was almost a turn on
like a $2
and then flash forward a year and we got the second edition game, and Rob and I played one game of that.
Poorly, I might add.
Yeah. So then,
and you weren't handled roughly, so it was a turn off.
Yes, and it is Rob. So yeah. That's a fully platonic relationship in all manners. So Brian Novak said, "Hey, you know what? You are the ringer for my my Dreadball tournament. So it'd be great if, like, you slipped in here for the League of the Night." And, you know, got your feet, you know, dipped your toes in. And, I said, yeah, that sounds good. Little did I know that, Crazy A, Andrew, he does not mess around when he runs a tournament. It was boot camp. It was real. And,
welcome to the real world. Yeah.
First of all, he was so good at running this league. I'd never even played games, never mind doing with, you know, the league thing where you purchase things and stuff like that. But the way he ran it, he said right off the bat, I hope you've eaten. I hadn't. I hope you don't plan to get drinks during breaks, or, he says, this is the real deal. This is the long haul. And I went, how long is this going to last? And to this day, I don't know how long, but I believe it was close to midnight by the time it was over. I don't know how many hours of Dreadball.
It was midnight.
Yeah, I wrapped up my whole speed tournament, and then another hour or so went by before you guys were done. So, yeah, it was a while.
It was a trial by fire of Dreadball, and it was really enjoyable. And I'm glad I did it, so I learned how to use the sphere. You know, honestly, if that was all the Dreadball I played for Adepticon, I'd have been happy. So, so yeah, good. I'm glad I did that.
Well, also, because Dreadball is at the same time as Kings of War, these guys weren't playing for fun. It's supposed to be, oh, it's a fun league in a night, but they were playing for blood, because this was a lot of them that was their only chance to play Dreadball, right?
Oh yeah, it was the unofficial tournament for Adepticon. the people that showed up were the ones that couldn't do the official, so they, this was going to be it.
And the ones that could do the official. It was both. So it was a high level of player, like caliber wise.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like don't get me wrong. There was a lot of A-listers there. Even some of the new faces were like that were like some high quality Dreadball players. There was no messing around. I was a little goby fish with a little bespeckled goby fish just going into a swarm of piranha. It was something.
Yep, and I think I went home early because I was dying.
I think you took Ronnie out for dinner that night.
Was it that night? Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Went out to Kuma.
Went to Kuma's.
That's right. Yeah, that was good. Actually, I was feeling all right when we went to Kuma's. And maybe it was because it was good. The burgers at Kuma are so good. You can't feel bad after eating those things.
No.
Oh, that was so good. Yeah, that's right. We all went out to Kuma's with a bunch of guys. I wanted to bring Ronnie out since he'd been so nice to us to bring us to Whirly Ball. So brought him out for dinner. And yeah, we got to enjoy that. I forgot about that. And then I went home to die. And actually, I think I went back to collect Jack at that point. I think I ended up going back to the thing.
But yeah, we went back to the thing because I drove us to Kuma's, and then we
there was a whole adventure though. I remember that we ended up going to some convenience store, and it wasn't a straight drive back. I remember that now.
Oh, that's right. We had to go to Walgreens so I can get water and all this soda, and you were looking for something. What were you looking for?
I was looking for pain killing pills.
That's right.
I bought a bunch of aspirin because I think the night before my shoulder hurt so bad when I was trying to sleep, I just could not sleep. So, but I think that was the start of being all right. The drugs is always makes everything better, people. I think that's my words of wisdom.
Wow, that's the takeaway of the whole podcast, huh?
I think so. I think
drugs are good.
Drugs are good, yeah.
Legal drugs are good.
Hookers with drugs in their system are good. That's the key.
Oy.
Yeah, so then that was Thursday, and then Friday we're all pretty tired. And, Jack, you had to do something on Friday, didn't you? Friday was, Dead Zone was it till, was that in the morning on Friday? Dead Zone?
No, Vanguard is Friday.
Oh yeah, Friday morning you are right, Jack. You didn't have to go crazy on Friday morning.
No, but we had to set up for Mexico.
Yes, we had to get, but that was not until noon. We set up for Mexico, but nobody had signed up for Friday. Thank you, people. We asked you not to, and you didn't. So we sat around waiting for people to show up, but they didn't. But then the second half, Jack had to do Dead Zone. Tyler, you had Vanguard in the morning, though, right?
Yes, indeed. So my game one got to be with Andy Sharp, and this is the only game that we got to play throughout the weekend together. So that was pretty fun. Yeah, the whole Vanguard tournament, each game was fun, but I definitely lost every game considerably, is how I'll word that. So basically, I got my teeth kicked in basically every game. Ogres, I don't know. It's probably a mix between my list and my lack of experience, but I feel like my list definitely needed more models, and Ogres just can't do that. So yeah, it was brutal, especially my game against Rob Finniff of Countercharge fame. That was the second game of the tournament. That was just horrifically brutal. My dice were as cold as can be, and his were as hot as can be. And that was one of the worst tablings I think I've ever had, but it was a heck of a lot of fun. So, yeah, my Vanguard tournament was one failure after another, but very fun games. I got to play against Andy Sharp and Rob Finniff, like I said. I got to play against Shannon Shoemaker. So I had a lot of really fun people I got to play against. But I definitely finished at the very, very bottom of the pack. If I wasn't last place, I was second to last place. So yeah, Vanguard is a really fun game. It does still feel like a first edition, especially for tournament play. I think just by the nature of the game, it's more designed to be just kind of for fun. You know, sort of the Friday night before your big tournament kind of game. But, yeah, there's still things to hammer out and iron out, and some people took it more seriously than others, but it was a very fun tournament. I like the scenarios they picked, and, of course, the only time I rolled high was when my guys get sucked into the portal if I roll high, so that was fun. But, yeah, it was a really good tournament. It was really fun, especially to see that size of group for a brand new game like Vanguard. I thought that was really kind of inspiring. I thought that was pretty cool. And some really cool warbands on display. Some people had some really quality painted models, and it's always fun to see new stuff because a lot of those models I've never seen in person. So it's really neat to see them, you know, in the flesh. So I had a great time at that tournament despite getting my teeth absolutely kicked in. Which takes us into Dead Zone, right? Dead Zone was pretty much right after. We got some lunch and then it was all about the Dead Zone.
Did you even get lunch? I think, Jack, didn't we go and get just some, like, chicken fingers or something? It was like, we never even got a chance. I don't know. Did you go out for lunch that day, Tyler, or did you just grab something?
Yeah, I went out with Jeff Swan and Grant Federer and Rob Fendoff. We just went to the bar that's attached to the hotel, and I made the very poor choice of getting chicken noodle soup, which was extremely salty and not good, but that's not the point here. But, you know, it was sustenance, and it carried me through the Dead Zone tournament, so, you know, I can't complain too much.
Unlike Jack, who had chicken fingers and barely any life left in him to play Dead Zone.
No, to be fair, I took this into account, and I ate so much at the hotel breakfast that I mean, it's ridiculous. I really didn't need to eat at lunch at all, but I did anyways, and that was my game plan, to eat so much at the hotel breakfast that I can carry through until the end of the day.
Yeah.
Did I eat before Dead Zone?
I thought, is that the day we got the chicken fingers? Maybe that was Saturday.
Yeah, because I think after Dead Zones when I ate a piece of pizza like I was Gollum eating a fish.
Yeah, that was for sure.
Ooh, that's some good imagery. I like that.
Yes, that was the pizza we got from, I think Brian Wade got it from Walmart or somewhere where pizza should not be bought from. It was not bad pizza, actually, but it was not good.
He got it from Costco.
Costco, that's what it was.
But I thought that was Saturday.
Was that Saturday? Oh, man, I'm mixing up Saturday.
No, it was Friday because Saturday was Mantic Open Night.
Yeah, that was Friday. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Jack, you played in the Dead Zone tournament as a ringer?
Yes. This is predetermined quite a while ago. Rick Hall, the lovely Rick Hall, who he puts on a good tournament as well. He's for his first go around, the tournament, the way it was structured, everything fantastic. He had asked me to be the ringer, and as fate would have it, there was an odd number, so I slipped in with my Maison Labs. No Griblies, two guys with flamethrowers. You know, I'm the ringer. I'm not supposed to be bringing the thunder. And, yeah, that was a good time. I played Andy Sharp, who at this point, we'd been, you know, talking quite a bit, but this is when we really got to you know, kind of get to know each other and enjoy. And my first game was against, Jeff Burbage, which, I got to show off the new, the new jump packs going across buildings, much to his surprise. All in all, other than seeing, Dom from Michigan. How's
that new?
Because Jeff had never met somebody who's jump packs before.
Oh, okay.
You remember they used to. There's a couple things. I was able to just go extra spaces across building tops and stuff. And he was like, "Whoa, how many moves do you got?" Because instead of going up 1, 2, 3, you know. To round it out, I played against Dom from the Michigan. That's one thing. Let's roll it back a bit. Rick Hall had given me a shirt that has a nickname on it, and when he called me out and said, "Hey, we need you for the ringer," that was part of the deal. So I threw on my Michigan crew shirt, and so. I just wanted to say thank you to Rick for, for that little present. Thanks, buddy. But back to my last game was against Dom and his dice. I've never seen more cursed, worse dice ever.
You must not have played against Tim before.
Well, you know what? I would say the two of them playing a game, there would not be a fatality. It would be an epoch before there was a single drop of bloodshed. His dice were the worst. It wasn't his gameplay. It wasn't his list. It wasn't anything. He could not. His dice failed him constantly. And he took it so just like, meh, it is what it is. Meh. I'd have been sweating and gritting my teeth. I'd have been angry. But anyways, so yeah, that was good. But by the end of that, I hadn't eaten that day. So Rob said, "Hey, there's some pizza in the corner." And yeah, Shane watched me eat pizza like I was an animal. Well, Rob and Shane both mocked and ridiculed me as I ate. Tried to get any sustenance I could.
He did look like Golem when he was eating the fish. He pretty much just balled up the pizza into a big ball and was just gnawing on it. So that was your Friday. My Friday was pretty good because I got to play Rumble Slam with Shane and Andy Andrew WK, which is great. And Crazy A, and we had a good fight. I played Orcs and had Hulk Hogan-like Orc as my leader. And it was fun. And once I would have won if my dice hadn't have failed me. I couldn't throw a guy over the top rope to save my life. Literally.
Even when they were knocked out.
Yeah. Oh, it was bad. And, yeah, that was really fun. And then, what else? Then, yeah, we had some pizza. And by that time, I think I'd been through the Crucible. By Friday night, I was feeling a little bit better. It was Friday afternoon. Jack saw me and when I was waiting to play, Mech Zone. And waiting for someone to show up, Jack was. You were like, "Oh my God, you're going to die."
you're barely holding on.
Yeah. I think I did go for a nap that day. I went back to the hotel. That's I think revitalized me.
You had had a lingering dry cough, mm-hmm. and a tight chest. You had congestion. You had
weak.
It was sick, but not.
Yeah, it was the recovering of the sickness. That's what it was. It was just that lingering. And this, all the activity, it would make me tired. My lung capacity wasn't what it should be.
You were like laboring to function.
Yeah.
You had reached the point where I thought, oh no, Adepticon's ruined. He's going to be bedridden.
Yeah. And that's, once nobody showed up for the second mech zone, I went back to the hotel and slept, had a nap. And then I was like, okay. I had a few drinks at happy hour. I was like, okay. And then I made it back for the end of the Dead Zone tournament and got to play Rumble Slam and all that. And by then I was much better. And then Saturday and Sunday I was fine. It was just like, it got me through. It was just like, okay, I just need a little bit more sleep. And, but yeah, it was fun.
I got to play a quick game of Rumble Slam.
Yeah, with Jack. You guys got interrupted because we got kicked out of the room. It was midnight by then.
Well, we had played enough rounds that we had gotten the game down already.
Yeah, it's a fun game. It's pretty simple. It's a beer and pretzels game. It's pretty much, there is some advanced rules, I guess we weren't playing with, but it's a fun, if you like wrestling and you like fantasy creatures, it's a nice mix and the miniatures are pretty nice. So I think it's fun. You almost bought that, Jack. You and, who is it, Shane? You guys were close.
Yeah. And again,
no, it wasn't Shane. It was Andrew WK. That's
I was going to say Shane.
Shane already had it. Yeah. It was Andrew. That's
yes. Him. Me and Andrew were gonna go down there and talk to the guy, and then at one point he'd already, someone goes, "Oh yeah, Andrew already bought a team."
Yeah, he just showed up with a team, and you're like, "You were supposed to wait for me."
I ran over there. Yeah, and then I had full intentions on Sunday morning because I'd be free to do my shopping in the vendor hall, so I was free as a bird to do all of my shopping needs.
Yeah, and I think it was all of us kind of agreed, like, if we were going to get it, it would be we play it once a year at Adepticon kind of thing. Like, that's what we're all talking about. We're like, yeah, we would never really usually play this, but...
I actually play it quite a bit since I got it.
Well, good for you, Mr. I have people to play with. So how was the haul up until Friday? Everything was good?
Yeah, it was busy. You know, Hellboy was a big hit. People were like, I can't wait to get my Kickstarter. So anyone that came by the booth that saw it, mostly were Kickstarter backers. There were very few, it was not like C2E2 where people came with, this is a game? What's going on? What? Tell me about this. But everyone was, on point with, Hellboy waiting for the Kickstarters. But I think the big how to do was Vanguard stuff. People really wanted to get their Vanguard stuff. Vanguard is going very strong.
And even, King's War stuff was selling just so people could get miniatures for it too. I noticed, people were buying the Night Stalker armies and stuff because they wanted it for Vanguard.
So it was good. We had good traffic.
Yeah. That's good. And I know John Jack said that he was demoing Hellboy, and he said that, 90% of the people he was demoing for were like, yeah, I'm a Kickstarter backer. How do I play this?
Yeah.
So
we helped all the Kickstarter backers learn the rules real quick.
Yeah, you're playing into that crowd where it's if they all knew about it, they're all hip to the miniatures games. I think Gen Con will be fresh again
I think it's gonna flip.
Yeah. It'll be people, oh my god, I didn't know this existed. Or people, I remember it's just people looking at it in the booth last year saying, oh my god, I can't wait. So I think that'll be a big one for you. And yeah, so that was Friday. Anybody else have anything to say about Fridays?
Oh yeah, I mean, I played in the Dead Zone tournament.
Oh yeah, we forgot to talk about you in the Dead Zone tournament.
Oh, that's all right. My Dead Zone tournament was it was fun. I got to play against Jesse Cornwell. I absolutely demolished him. I felt a little bit bad about it, but
you should.
Everything went perfectly right for me in that first game. Like it was just silly because it was you scatter your forces at the beginning. So basically, you roll a dice to see if they're in one of two of the back rows, and then you roll to see how far down they go. And my guys all grouped up basically exactly how I would have deployed them if I had a chance to. And his not so much. It's always fun playing Jesse. Jesse's just an incredibly fun guy to play against. And we had a bit of an audience too. We had Jeff Swan poking his head in and, Jeremy Duval from Countercharge fame. He's poking his head in a little bit and watching our game. And my dice were hot and my list was great against his, but from there, my Dead Zone tournament kind of petered out. It started off on a high note for me, and then kind of, it was okay. I kind of blame myself for this because I didn't put the effort in towards Dead Zone like I have in previous years, especially because the mission pack was out, and I really should have read it because I would have realized how important it is to have a lot of miniatures on the table. But again, I went with a pretty elite list that can, it's not going to die and it'll stomp faces, but it can't accomplish objectives. And had I looked at the mission pack, I probably should have adjusted that, but, that's all right. And I got to play some other guys. I got to play Adam Kinney, which was fun. That was the weird scatter kind of scenario, and his Asterians kind of just picked my guys apart and I couldn't do much about it. That was the one with the aberration, and that's really where I felt like I needed more models on the board. Because in order to control that aberration, you really need guys to be able to get on the objectives. But ultimately, it was a really, really fun Dead Zone tournament. I felt like the entire vibe of the Dead Zone tournament in general was just a little bit more laid back. I got to play Bill Foreman in the last round against his Plague, and that was really fun. I don't often get to play against Bill. Actually, I think this might be my first time I've officially played against him. He's kind of sat in on a lot of games that I've played, but I've never got to play him personally. So that was a lot of fun. And, Dead Zone's a great game, so it was a good time, despite me having a totally mediocre record. And actually, props to Jesse. Jesse really turned it around after that first game, and he won his next three games and finished number four, I believe. So props to him. He's a bit of my Padawan. In Dead Zone.
Oh.
And,
you know who won?
Yep.
Who
won? Corey from Michigan won. He's a Detroit guy, I guess. And I talked to him. He later was in the Mech Zone with me. I talked to him. And he says that, yeah, him and his buddies just play Dead Zone in the basement and get drunk. And sounds nice. like us kind of playing. And
classic.
He said he likes Dead Zone because it's the only game he can win at. So. And he proved it. And then during Mech Zone.
Yeah,
and so he's the national champion. And who's not the national champion?
Neither Andy Sharp or Adam Kinney. They both, I think, and Andy Sharp was second and Adam Kinney was third, I believe. I think that's how it ended up. I played Mexican with Corey the next day and his dice were terrible. I said, thank God these weren't the rolls you had yesterday. He's like, yeah, you're right. Yeah. So it's a good tournament. I think it, everybody seemed happier than last year, which is all you want. And, I think it was well run by Rick. Rick runs a tight ship.
Yeah, the trains ran on time, that's for sure.
That's right. That's good. That's what you need.
Yes. And we judged the painting competition, and that was really good to see.
We judged it for Vanguard, and then it was just, you didn't judge it for Dead Zone because you felt you shouldn't because you were in it, right, Jack?
Yes, yes.
So it's me and Rick did it for Dead Zone.
I didn't, since I knew there was no anonymity, and I just didn't feel, for Vanguard we did, for the Dead Zone I didn't.
I don't think I did Vanguard, actually. I think, I think that's when I was not feeling great. So you guys are like, you just sit here and you drank someone else into Vanguard, I think.
You had left and we assumed that you were either, dead somewhere yeah. or yeah. gone. So,
yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, we pulled in another person. So it was, Rick, Jeff Burbage and myself and we did, Vanguard.
Yeah, and then we did, Rick and I did, Dead Zone. And it was good. A lot of, nobody brought, Coach would be upset. Nobody brought any boards. And if anybody had brought a, display board, they would have won, I think. Just because it was, they would have given you enough points. Not one person. And that's why Jeff was like, Jeff ended up winning anyways, but, he was like, yeah, I'm gonna bring a display board for sure next year.
Yeah, I just couldn't fit it this year. Yeah. Well, normally I do, but I...
Yeah,
like last year I got to double it as my firefight and my Dead Zone board, but this year I couldn't justify bringing a big old board.
And you had your giant board for...
You could double it as a Vanguard.
Yeah.
True.
Flip it, you should get two both sides.
Oh, there you go. Now you're thinking. I should have thought of that. Where were you a couple months ago?
Well, you guys got to talk to the experienced gamer here.
Tyler also had his giant board for Kings of War, which was nicely saran wrapped to keep all the flock on. So, that's you forgot to mention, Tyler, that when you made your ogre warlock there, you stole some shale from a planter and stole some flock off your own board.
Oh yeah, I did, and I'm very proud of it. Actually,
well,
not told anybody that model was built and painted on the spot, nobody would have any the wiser.
Yeah.
Like, truly, nobody would know.
I feel like
pretty awesome.
Everyone was stealing shale out of those planter boxes.
Yeah. I wonder if they knew what they had done when they put free shale on the floor.
Can we just, like, Tyler, you were so low-key about the terror of not having your models, knowing that you had a tournament the next day. And you looked at me and went, oh, you know,
that was funny.
One of my models. I was like, oh, okay. And you're like, yeah, I better go buy one. And I'm thinking,
Tyler's Schultz, not this lazy.
Wait, hold on. Schultz never buys anything. So why would he go down and buy something if he could just go back to the hotel and get it up? You know?
Cause you had said it's with my Kings of War stuff. And I thought the stuff at the hotel, and I'm thinking, why don't you just walk over? I know you'd have made that trip six times not to go down there and pay for another one. But the whole time, like, until you explained the situation, you were just like, okay, yeah, this is just the way it is.
The quiet storm within him.
I think Beetle took a before and after of my paint job before being just a blank, you know, metal miniature, and then the after being a completed one. So maybe we can include those in the show notes if I can find them.
Right, well, we have all the pictures Beetle took for the non-private pictures are going to be in the show notes. He has a bunch of albums you can go through. So it's got a bunch of shots of everybody, and I'm sure it's in there somewhere. Hopefully, if not, Tyler, send it to me, and I'll put it in there. And, I think that wraps up Friday night then, right? Is that Friday?
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So then Saturday, Jack, That's the day you were like, why do I have to wake up?
Is that the day that I...
Yes, because that's when you had to go to Dreadball.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. No, that was...
That's Saturday.
Saturday was Dreadball, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
What was Sunday that kept me
Nothing.
Busy?
Sunday, we were free Sunday. Sunday was our fun day.
Oh.
But, yes, so, you ended up at Dreadball because you were the ringer once again.
I could have sworn everyone was hanging so bad at Dreadball that I thought it must have been Sunday because it was after.
We had a bit of a Friday, of a fun time Friday night too. I didn't. There was nothing, but there were some beers being drunk Friday night too.
Nah. Yeah. So, yes, I had to get up early for, now it had been, I think maybe two nights, or maybe the night before we were getting on the plane to go to Adepticon, young Brian Novak said, hey, I understand you're up for doing some ringering. So, yeah, I agreed to do for Dreadball. And at this point, that was two tournaments of the three that I volunteered to be the ringer for. That there was an odd number. So
you're like, what's the chance?
What's the chance? So I show up early because we got moved down into the room that had the 40K funk. I'm not going to start disparaging people or I don't want to throw shade or, no shots fired, no one on Front Street. That is what the kids say, by the way. But we were put down in the 40K room and, anyways, well, Andy Sharp, I met him down there because I wanted to verify where it was, and he was just like, "Do these people not understand what deodorant is? Like, this is outrageous." And I was like, "Oh, okay, it can't be that bad." And I walked in there.
This is outrageous. Right.
It makes you appreciate the Mantic people. We all seem to be cleanliness is next to godliness, but not those other heathens.
They were animals. It was like a sty. It was, and in fact, Andy Sharp says, well, at least when they open up the doors to the vendor hall, some of that will just waft out. It'll change there'll be less concentration. And I was like, well, yeah, you're damning the rest of humanity. But yes, this area will be less stinky. Once I confirmed that there was an even number, okay, fine. I went upstairs to our Euphoria Hall, and so if anyone showed up and was like, hey, where's the tournament? I could walk them down to where it was. Tournament was about to start, and I looked around, and there was a lot of – there were some peaked folks. Adam Kinney looked like death warmed over, and Jeff Burbage and Rob S., one of a fellow Canadian who I played in the Dead Zone tournament. I'm not going to try and say his last name. His name makes Crazy A's last name look like Smith. but anyways, I looked around and I guess Jeff and all his roommates had went to White Castle the night before and just ate, I think, 13 sliders. He claimed, and a waffle, chicken waffle, something. He was sweating and pale. And I said, oh no, there's an even number, but someone's going to tap out. So I said, okay, they started the tournament. I walked away.
Burbage wouldn't tap out.
No, God, no. So I said to Brian, I said, I'm going to hang around. My intention had been go back to the hotel and sleep. I came back and, Adam Kinney couldn't even finish his first game. He was, So another 5 hours of Dreadball. Yes. I grabbed my dice and I was involved. The thing was, I was, Rob, you were setting up for, Mech Zone, Midnight Mech Zone upstairs, which I was supposed to be up there with you to set up for. And you had been moved as well. So I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I was actually looking forward to do that. But when I didn't appear, you must have known what fate had befell me.
I think the story of you getting caught down there, it reached my ears. Cause I came down cause I was like, we had no D8s. I was like, oh, Jack, did you bring the dice trays or D8s? And unfortunately left it in the hotel, but Brian Novak hooked us up with some D8s, luckily. But then, even then, I think that was like your second game, you're just like, kill me.
Yeah, I only need the D6s, obviously, so I had the D6s on me, but, it was a lot of Dreadball. For not being a Dreadball player, it was a lot of Dreadball.
Well, that's a lot of any one game, to be honest. I mean, yeah. I'm a madman, but even that sounds like a lot of one game.
Yeah.
In 2 days, you played, ten times as many games as you've ever played of Dreadball?
Yeah, probably. It must have been 10 hours of Dreadball, at least.
So you're an experienced pro now, and you're going to come back next year stronger than ever and take the title, right?
Well, to be honest, after League of the Night, I said, because Jeff was like, what are you thinking? Like, because, you know, Dreadball is his game, and we live 2 hours away. So he was like, what are you thinking? I'm like, you know what? I'm enjoying it. I really am. And I took a basic team, and it was but by the end of the tournament, I was like,
kill
I need
me.
A rest.
Yeah. May I never play it again.
There was probably a sweet spot in between those two.
Where if you could have just stopped.
The Goldilocks.
Yeah. Yeah. You know when you have a slice of pie and you're like, oh, you know, strawberry rhubarb, that is delightful. And then someone goes, here, have another slice. And you're like, well, yeah, okay. And afterwards you go, no. Should have stuck with the one. But there was a lot of paying customers there and they wanted to play a tournament. And they needed an opponent, and I was happy to do that, and Brian was very appreciative. So, that it is what it is. I will do it again.
Well, there you go. And while you're doing that, I played 2 sessions of Mech Zone. I ran 2 sessions. We had a good group of people. Most of the people never played Dead Zone even before. Like I say, Corey was there from the Dead Zone tournament, and Bill and Sue and Beetle were there for the games, which is good to have them. And then we had different players in the two different people each time that hadn't played. And it was a good group. Everybody had fun, and they treated it like it should be, that it was just, this is for fun. It's not fair. It's not balanced. You're just beating on each other. Funny things happen. And, yeah, it was good. And at one point, Beetle and Corey were just trading shots for the whole game and could not kill each other. And they were just, it was ridiculous. And, like, they couldn't even hit each other, let alone kill each other, so. And, yeah, it was fun. And Sue Foreman, her whole method of winning was just going from the PowerPoints to each PowerPoint until it eventually bit her in her butt, and she bounced back and forth against the walls until she exploded. But she wouldn't fight anybody. She'd just walk around on the PowerPoints, like, just rolling dice. It was funny. She ended up third in that game because she didn't engage. And everybody seemed to have a good time. So, and, once again, the, print and play rules are up, on the, they were in the, Dead Zone Fanatics, probably pretty far back, but I think we also put them up on our Discord in our, what is that section called again, Jack, that you made? The admin or something like that? The admin office?
I know I created a very structured, very organized situation, and then I turned my back for a moment, and then that's when the shenanigans happened. Security was dropped. There was compromises made, and I don't know if I can fully agree with that.
Well, you can find the Mech Zone rules all over the place, Mech Zone 3.0, so you could try that. And yeah, it's good times. Brings us to Tyler. Tyler had a full day.
Oh yeah. So that's one of my one regrets, is that I didn't get to try out Mech Zone, because it looked like a blast, and the models you guys brought were really fun and creative and different, so I regret to say that I did not get to play, unfortunately. But I did get to play in Kings of War, which was my number one most anticipated event this year. The Clash of Kings 2019. It is just so much fun. I really got to connect with the Kings of War guys this year, in kind of a deeper level, and it was really fun. I feel like I made a bunch of friends this year, especially. And
your army, the army you brought was, Ronnie approved because it was all Mantic, right?
Yeah, Ronnie and I started out friends in the weekend, and I broke his heart, like any good friend does. But, yeah, I got to play in the tournament. The first game, or the first, let's see, the first day had three games. The second game, or second day had two games. Sorry, that's like tripping over my own words. But that was a lot of fun.
Well, I think for the listening public, you should tell them to go to Paint All the Minis to see your army.
Oh, well, I'm not a shameless plugger, but if you want me to be, I can. Just kidding, I am. So yeah, it was, Paint All the Minis. If you go to the YouTube channel for Paint All the Minis, I have a whole, like, docu-series kind of, basically chronicling, when I first got the models from Watchful Eye Studio to when I have completed the models. And, I just love those miniatures. You guys have probably heard the story already. If you heard our pre-Adepticon show, I already went through the whole spiel. But, I got to bring this really cool terracotta army. It's not Mantic, unfortunately, and I got a lot of flack for it, and I'm still getting flack for it from Ronnie on pretty much anything I do. But it was very fun. My army performed pretty well, and the first day went really well. It's just so much fun to play in a tournament that big and with, you know, that many people, and seeing all those armies is just so inspiring. It makes me want to paint and do stuff just to try to be on the same level as some of these painters. And the tournament in general is just a real joy, and the scenarios were fun, the terrain was pretty good, and I just had a really good time, so I don't know what else to say. I know this isn't a Kings of War podcast, and
yeah, screw wanted, those guys.
If you wanted to hear a Kings of War podcast, go to Countercharge, because I was on that too.
No.
I winked, but there's no cameras.
But yeah, it was a huge tournament. Pat, what was the final numbers on that thing? Do you remember?
60.
I asked Pat.
Oh, sorry. Pat said 60.
60.
But that's why we got kicked out of the room, because they took over the whole Mantic area in Utopia. It was, I don't know, big area. So it was great to see.
I wanted you guys out there from the get-go anyways. I think it's more, those little event games are better served out there.
Yeah, people walk by and see them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that was great. Kings of War was huge this year, which is nice. And that was because it's a Clash of Kings qualifier, or Clash of Kings?
No, it's the national championships of the U.S. So, I forgot who won. Oh, Chris Kastner won it. He's now the national class champion. And he will get a free ticket to play in the U.K.
Oh, no. Actually, he won't, because he didn't have a Mantic army, so the highest Mantic army guy was Tim Smith. So Tim Smith gets the trip to England. Chris Kapsner was the overall winner, though.
I thought he had a full Mantic army because he was working on one.
That guy, he blew it.
Well, that guy gets to go to England to play in the UK National Championship Class Kings, where we will steal their trophy because we're better.
Good.
Yes, because that's what America's all about.
I put a lot of pressure on that poor guy's shoulder just now.
You do that a lot, Pat.
Well, I know.
So, yeah, that was the first half of that tournament. But before the second half happened, there was Adepticon Mantic Night.
Ugh.
Which we love. Pat, please explain Adepticon Mantic Night to the uninitiated.
Basically, Mantic Open Night was a creation of mine to give the U.S. an open day, since we don't get to have one. So we put together, we have it Saturday night, every Saturday now, we're on what, year six? No, year four.
No, it was six, I think. I can check right now, because I have 2015 was the first one. So this would be the, what, fifth year? Yeah, it would have been the fifth year.
Yeah, so fifth year doing this. It usually works out with, starts out with a nice Q&A with Ronnie and whoever. Then it devolves into open gaming and
then it really devolves.
Yeah, and just nice drinking and hanging out.
Yes, it was a good time. So Ronnie's Q&A, it can be found in audio format on this page, on Dead Zone, the podcast page. We put the whole thing up there. Yeah, we get good gifts. We got a nice pint glass with the open night on it.
Yeah, that's probably one of my favorite things I got from Adepticon, honestly. I'm going to use that all the time.
Yeah, it's great.
You got a nice pint glass. What else did we put in there? You got elves.
No, I didn't get elves. We got a set of terrain crate, which I lost. I lost mine, so I don't know where that went. And
that's a shame. I got the really nice.
I think gonna like, say that's a shame. I got two.
No. I would never. But terrain crate. That's pretty cool.
Oh, Brian put a nice little counter. Howard Howie's put a nice little counter. MDF counter objective in the bags.
Yep, and there was there was
other Ironheart Artisans, but
it was like a siege.
Oh, that's right,
the siege kind of thing.
A wall, like a shield,
a moving wall barrier to protect your troops as they storm the castle. Yeah. It was pretty.
Yeah, it was cool. And Ironheart Artisans also, Alex, he also had that. There was a feature table with a giant castle on it too, right?
Yes.
Which this would fit perfectly in with all the siege rules and siege weapons. So I think it's actually in the Clash of Kings books, isn't it? The siege weapons?
Siege rules are in 20.
Yeah, the 2019 book.
Yeah, and I think it actually shows his stuff in there, so that's cool. So Mantic Knight was great. After Mantic Knight was great, we got.
Let's not blow through Mantic Knight. I got a really great game of Dreadball Ultimate. This is the one time I got to play Dreadball.
Yeah, and you spilt a drink all over it. We know, Tyler.
Wow. You're going to shortchange me like that.
That's also not glass over on Ronnie did the Choco Loco challenge and ate one of the hottest pepper piece of chocolate.
Yeah, like a trooper.
There's video on it, but... there's about a minute into him eating it, you really see it hit him. You can just see it changing his demeanor.
Oh, yeah. He definitely, but all things considered, as hot as that must have been, he took it like a champ, honestly. I think he had a pretty good reaction to it. It wasn't like sweating and panting and he held it in pretty well.
If we had made him stay in the room, because he kind of rolled out of there really fast. He went and took a walk.
Yeah, he's walking up and down the aisles there. Yeah,
he had the Rob reaction.
Yeah,
when Rob, myself, and a friend of ours ate a, I believe it was a,
Carolina Reaper, wasn't it?
It was a Carolina Reaper, and we all reacted differently.
Yeah, the guy who made the Carolina Reaper is the guy who made this pepper.
Yeah, Pepper X or whatever, Black Reaper or whatever it's called. So my reaction was, Jack's reaction was to sit and sweat. And I think, our other friend's reaction, I think he just kept making noises. And then my reaction...
He could barely breathe.
Yeah, and my reaction was to walk in circles, just keep walking. And that's Ronnie and I had the same reaction. Yeah, you just keep moving. Jack was offended that Ronnie, after he did it, he drank that warm milk, had been sitting on the counter, they were sitting on the desk right in front of him the whole show.
Well, we got that specific for him, so.
Yeah, I know, but it was warm.
It's
right. Tyler and I were sitting through the presentation, and the two of us were just, why is there milk there? Why is there room temperature milk there? It was distracting.
Yeah, we just couldn't get over the fact that there's a glass of milk just sitting on the table, and everyone was just ignoring it. And I just couldn't take my attention off of it. It was pretty funny.
It was there for the hot chocolate.
So, yes, Ronnie did the challenge, and he did it with aplomb, so it was good. And, yes, I didn't play any games. Jack and I never played. We were supposed to play either the anime mechs we never got to, and me and Rick never got to play our G.I. Joe Dead Zone game. Disappointing.
You guys never made it happen?
We were too busy all the time, it seemed like.
Yeah, we had a bunch of things. We were running some Vanguard, some Hellboy, Doomball.
Doomball. Yeah.
Doomball, and a lot of people were playing Doomball. A lot of people were playing Ballroom Brawl.
Oh, you had a demo of the new Walking Dead game.
Yeah, I let Taylor run that since he likes The Walking Dead. And yeah, so we had, you know, there were a lot of quite a few people playing those games. So a few of us.
Dreadball Ultimate, we were just shouting at the top of our lungs.
Yeah, you guys were way too loud.
I don't see no ref, and we're just having a good time. I mean, you know, you throw giants into the mix and things get nanners, so it was pretty fun.
Yeah, everybody seemed to have fun. Everybody plays those beer and pretzel games at Magic Night and has a good time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I lost the bet and I had to drink gin and I got a little bit angry.
Yes, well, gin makes everyone angry. It is known to do that.
I should have just cut the middleman and had paint thinner, called it good.
Yeah.
That's creeping into Mantic After Dark territory, where things got a little squirrely. So
we're able to stay in the room this year. Somebody got bribed, and we were allowed to stay in the room past midnight. So we're there.
I don't know what happened, but we were there well into two.
Yeah, it was late by the time we left.
There's no way that if someone was patrolling that they didn't hear us.
No,
so they just kind of let it happen, which is cool.
I think somebody bribed the guy who runs Adepticon with some liquor. So I think that's why he left us alone. And, yeah, so we hung out there, and it was fun times. Jack, do you want to describe what happened to your hat? I think this is an epic adventure now.
Yes. That is an After Dark thing that has been exposed to the light of day. Ronnie had misplaced a hat.
Three hats.
Eons ago.
Well, misplaced is a loose term.
Yeah.
And so... It was a favorite gray hat. Trials and tribulations later, he's recovered that hat. Then he collected some others. They were stolen by some ne'er-do-wells that were returned to him via a box of presents at the end of the presentation. Ha ha ha! We've had your hats the whole time. Then Rob Berman. Very dutifully said, well, we got to protect these hats, put them aside so that they would be always available. And then they disappeared.
Yep. The person who stole them revealed themselves, and it was, Mel the Train Tutor with the help of Rick Hall, I heard, that traitor. But, yeah, Mel got them.
I think he was an unwitting patsy. I believe there are two other people, very beloved friends of ours, who may have been willing participants that I shall not name. But we're all sitting around, and Ronnie notices that first young Brian Novak is there with his hat. So he takes his hat, and then he grabs someone else's hat.
Which none of us had seen Brian without his hat ever. So it was even Rick has been like, I've never seen you without a hat on.
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
It was a strange event.
He was not comfortable at all. And then when I like licked my fingers and adjusted his hair,
that's right. Like, fixed his part.
That did not ease his discomfort. Let's just put it that way.
And then Blake's hat, I think, was the other hat that got stolen.
Oh yeah, Blake. I think it was. And then he took my hat. And so for a while there, Ronnie was wearing three hats in a kind of a Sherlock Holmesian, that's a deerstalker with the front and back situation, which there are pictures of him wearing all three hats. And then he and I discussed, a little wager, a little bet. And I don't exactly remember, we were just talking. And he said that my hat would make it to five different countries by next Adepticon. So 1 year, he will not lose this hat, and he will take a picture in five different countries. And in that scenario, I would owe him a bottle of whiskey. And if he cannot produce the hat next year at Adepticon, or he doesn't make it to five countries, then he would bring me a bottle of whiskey. So that is the wager that is unfolding on Facebook as we speak. He's And honestly, the next day, before it sounds like a CEO of a company just stole a hat off of a pauper such as myself, I could barely feed and clothe myself, and he's stealing my articles. The next day, he did offer. He goes, you know, last night, a little bit drinking. I told him, I said, well, we shook on it. It's done. That's the way it's going to be. Brian Novak did get his hat back.
Because, and Blake did too, yeah.
Yeah, so mine was the only one that, but Rob knows, anyone knows me knows that once it was established that this was what it was going to be, this is the way it was going to be, and that's the deal was struck. So it's not like a full theft happened. And in fact, my eyes get bothered by the sun quite a bit. So to pull back the curtain of Ronnie's kindness even more, he goes, I've got this hat here at the stand here. If you really need something here. So I wasn't the rest of the week, the weekend with my eyes all screwed up. And, so long story short, my hat is on a wild adventure. And at last update, it was in, a air pool in Malaysia. It looked like a pool up on a.
It was an infinity pool in Kuala Lumpur.
Yes, so it's making the rounds, and honestly, it could go either way. I might be driving up to Stony Creek to a distillery called 40 Creek and buying some of the best damn whiskey ever made by human hands.
He at first he said, "Oh, I'm in England. That counts." And everybody's like, "No, no, no! You said it, other than England." But he did post.
Yeah, the conditions of the bet, as I recall them, were that America and the UK don't count, and he can't just do like a quick hit France, hit Germany. You know, like he can't just hit Europe.
I don't remember that.
Moderately.
Yeah, he said.
I thought I remember that happening.
Yeah, because he said that if he just goes to Essen, you're going to hit five countries right there, and he's just like, so right. he's like, no, it's got to be legit places. Yeah. But he did post a picture of him outside of Mantic office with your hat.
Oh yeah, that's when I had to correct him.
Yeah, that was when the journey began. But it has made the rounds to Malaysia now. So.
And he also went to a football match with his son with your hat on. Like your hat's it's making the rounds, Jack.
Yes, yes. And the funny thing is, I told him at the time. I said, "Well, you know, the thing is," he goes, "Oh." It'll be famous, like, you know, so a little bit self-deprecation, like, oh, well, now that I'm taking this hat around the world, it's going to be, this big advertising thing. And I was like, yeah, but it's for a guy I used to work with, and he's a real crook. He goes, would it help if I wrote the guy who owns this company is a wanker? And I was like, wouldn't help, but I would enjoy it.
Luckily, it's a nondescript pretty hat. It's just pretty much an A. So
yes, yeah. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. And you know what is even more bizarre about the whole thing? The people in the room all got a good chuckle over it. And you know, for the rest of the week, there was a very small contingent of people who knew what was happening. And it's like, oh, okay, maybe he's gonna lose it. You know, hedging their bets. There's a lot of people from around the world who have a vested interest for some reason about this hat now.
Yeah.
Oh, the hat is arguably more of a celebrity than our own Jack Fike at this point.
Yeah. I don't think people realize where the hat's from. But, cause Ronnie posted it all over the place on social medias. And the best thing is, I don't know if he sent you these pictures, Jack, cause I don't think he knows your name on, Facebook, but he sent me a picture. The first picture was him, and he's in Malaysia, and he's got your hat on, and he takes a picture, and then he looks at the picture, he sends it to me, he's like, wait a second, it's really just him in a hotel room. Like, he could have been anywhere. Because he tried to take a picture outside with the whatever was outside his window, but it was just a flash, and it was just black, you couldn't see anything. And then he takes another picture and with a beautiful Malaysian background with those towers and stuff, but it's the wrong hat. He had the wrong hat on. So it's like, he's trying to send these pictures to me, and I think it's hilarious that it's not only that he's doing it, but it's actually a pain in the ass for him to do it.
Oh, Yeah, he does know my nom de guerre, and we have talked about it,
yeah.
Which there's a whole other story about how he was discussing. Well, he was telling people what my name really was at Mantic, which it wasn't really my name, but that's a whole other. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, so that was Mantic Night, and other than that was when I met, Dr. Mark,
say his full name.
MLC, yes, MLC,
Dr. JFK. Mark, MD,
PhD. Esquire LLC, that's his name.
RCR Esquire.
Yep, he's one of Shane's, buddies from Texas. Nice guy. We met tons of great people. We saw our regular favorites like Beetle and his wife Alex. And Bill and Sue, obviously, and Blake and
Kyle.
Kyle, yep, thank you. And yeah, all the regulars, but yeah, we got to meet new people too, which is always fun. Yep, Mantic Night. And yeah, there was lots of drinks had, and it was fun times. We ran out of alcohol, there were so many drinks had.
Yeah.
And Shane kept yelling at me that we need a plan. And I was like, what are you talking about?
We need a plan.
Oh, it was quite funny.
The next day, I was describing to Natasha what happened the night before after she left. And at one point, she thought I was making stuff up because it does get a little wild. When you say, oh, well, then after the Mexican candy fight, and she's just like, okay. She's just like, okay, stop. You're just making stuff up.
You're like, no, it happened. Like,
no, really. All this stuff happened. It's a wild, crazy experience.
Yeah. If you can make it to Mantic Night, you have to stay after hours because that's the fun times. A lot of people just disappear. I'm like, you're missing out. Like, so Mel, the Brain Tutor, we had pictures with him and we his wife, like we called his wife up and it was pretty funny. It was a good time was had by all, I believe. And, yeah.
That's one of those things where, Beetle comes up to me and goes, oh, you know, Mel Train Tutor. And I'm like, I don't really follow his stuff, but Rob really loves him. He goes, oh, but he listens to your podcast. And I was like, no, he doesn't listen to Dead Zone. And he's like, yeah, he just mentioned it. I ran right over here. I'm like, are you sure? And so he brought me over there. And it was one of those things where like, really?
Yeah, it's a surreal moment when someone who has like hundreds of thousands of followers says, oh yeah, I listen to you. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I listen to you guys. I'm a fan. I'm like, oh my God. So then, Rob goes, cause at that point, a bit of a gathering happened and Rob, you said, do you mind doing a bumper? And he was thrilled.
Yeah.
To record a little bumper, which you'll probably might hear in this, this podcast, actually.
Maybe I'll throw it in. It was fun. And he also he wanted to take a picture with us, which I thought was hilarious too. And it was good times. And, we had fun times other than he stole Ronnie's hats. He seems like a fine fellow. And, I don't know. That was Mantic Night. Anybody else have anything to say about Mantic Night?
No, it's just another well done event. Good times were had, games were played, drinks were drunk, chocolates were eaten.
Weird Mexican candies were thrown.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that too.
People tried to Shane brought these Mexican candies, and they're craziest stuff. Like some of it's really weird. And, he would try to foist it on people and they wouldn't want it. And so they started throwing it at each other and we had to clean it all up afterwards because we felt so bad. We didn't want the cleaning staff to have to.
They were everywhere.
Yeah. It was bad. But well, yeah,
that's how I knew, Schultzy and I are cut from the same cloth. But, at the end of the night, there was a third member of that triumvirate of people who just, Andrew Sharp, I liked him before. We talked a lot and, you know, throughout the night, sent Coach some messages, sent him a video. Like we had a good time and I knew he was a good guy, but I think Andy Sharp and I are also pretty, you know, pretty samesies. I think Tyler would agree.
Oh yeah, hats off to good old Andy Sharp for everything Jack just said and more.
Yep,
I'm not thanking him.
You still hold a grudge about that whole tea party thing, don't you?
Oh yeah.
Yes. We also forgot to mention, Jack, that we had a nice dinner with Bill and Sue at our hotel, because they stayed in the same hotel as us on Mantic Night Day before we went over. We did a really nice dinner with those guys, hung out, and it was great hanging out with those guys as always.
Yeah. Bill and Sue obviously are a treasure. And we were able to get a couple drinks in at the hotel beforehand and get a decent meal in, which is the first meal I'd had in I don't know how long. It was a nice quiet time before the storm.
Yes. And that brings us to Sunday. I think Tyler, you're the man doing stuff on Sunday, because you still had your tournament to go in.
Correct. Yeah, I had the final two games of Kings of War. They were very fun, and ultimately Kings of War ended for me. My goal going into the tournament was being in the top half. I thought that was a realistic goal. I've been playing the game for, you know, basically a little over a year, maybe a year and a half or so. So my goal was to be top half, and I got exactly half. So yeah. I got the Countercharger Award, which is the person who finishes in the dead middle of the pack. So I got place number 30 out of 60, and I'm really, really happy about it. And now I get to be one of the very few Counterchargers out there, and it's an honor. And,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but I got a little, I don't know what to call it. It's not a medal, but it's in the shape of a medal. So I got a nice Countercharger medal, and I got a blaster model. And, I actually really wanted the blaster model anyways, so that worked out really well. And, yeah, I'm pretty happy with the way my army performed for the time that I had, and all my games were close except the one where I got my teeth kicked in, but even that was a lot of fun. And, I actually finished second place in sports as well, so that was, I mean, there's like a weird 3 or 4 way tie for sports, but yeah, I ended up pretty high on that too. So people must, you know, for some reason enjoy playing against me. So it was a really, really fun tournament. And anyone who's on the fence about Kings of War, I would definitely say give it a try, because the game itself is just a blast, and the community is excellent too. All my games were really fun, so nothing but good things to say about that tournament. And I'm really happy with Countercharger.
Nice. For me and Jack, I think we took it easy. We had a late lunch or late breakfast and stumbled over there. And we went to the Badger booth for some reason was always closed, so we never did get we
yeah,
wanted
what
some
was
paint.
Up with that? Does anyone know why that was always closed?
It was weird. There was a lot of sickness going around, so it might have been a staffing issue or something. If he had to go do meetings or something and nobody was there to cover it. Yeah.
I can get sick and close down the Mantic booth.
And, yeah, on that, we walked around a lot. Jack forced Beetle to buy some, what was that, miniatures you loved?
Let's, no. at one point, there's Free Blades. There's, yeah. And I really, really liked them. I wish I could have walked Tyler down there, because they had the scale that I think he likes for like knights and stuff. And Beetle was like, I'm looking for something in particular. And so when we went over there, yeah, and he ended up buying, his wife a little gift, a little Ranger Archer miniature. They were just very nice, fantasy, just, like for a role playing game, had I had the room, I may have picked up a spider and or snake from their line, but.
Yeah, we walked around with Rick and Brian Novak and, me and you. And then, yeah, Beetle was there for part of it. And it was a good little tour of the, hall. I don't think you never bought anything. I don't think I didn't even buy anything. We were pretty stingy this year.
I was going to pick up a Rumble Slam team, and, Once I found out that the Reaper HD
that's right.
Paint line was canceled, this last summer, so I couldn't replace the colors I was looking for.
Not canceled, but
well, discontinued. Replaced. Yeah,
upgraded.
But it doesn't have the same colors, though.
No.
Yeah, they could upgrade to formulating for the bones black to make it like to make their paints match their new product line better. And I understand that they want to provide the best. The problem is, I was looking for a particular color by name, and I asked the guy at the booth, "Do you have a chart or something?" He goes, "Maybe we do. We don't have one here." I'm like, "Oh, well." So what do I do? Go to the back of the boxes and look at swatches and try and fight through the. I ended up pepper potting. I grabbed some grays from there. I grabbed one from Secret Weapon. I'm hoping I found something that I like.
I did buy some BattleTech stuff. I forgot about that. For once, Catalyst was there, so I bought some BattleTech books from them, which was nice. Yeah, Jack pretty much bought just a bunch of gray paint, which was hilarious when he'd show people what he'd bought, and it was just like different shades of gray.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that was about it for us. Is there anything else, Jack, that you can think of that we want to talk about Sunday? Or at least until later?
No, I made sure Schultzy was hydrated, checked it on him, and honestly, the thing is that I do remember about Sunday was there was a bit of a like a it was the biggest Adepticon I can remember, packed with people and stuff, but there was kind of like this calm, just this. I don't know, because they'd wrapped up with the Kings of War tournament. They were doing this something. It was just a weird time.
Well, we even started breaking down the booth pretty fast. Like it seemed to empty out pretty quick, I think.
Yeah, it was like a big rush. The first night was like crazy, getting the swag bags and stuff. The Sunday just seemed it was done. People had, okay, it's over. And it was just kind of washing away very quickly.
Yeah. So Pat, how was overall? How was the whole weekend for the booth?
It was good. It was probably one of the better shows that we did for Adepticon.
That's good.
Good turnouts. Like I said, good traffic. A lot of people tried out some Vanguard and Hellboy. Even a couple of Heroes Negans.
Yeah, that's good.
But all in all, it was a good time.
And on a personal level, you bought some stuff, I know. What did you buy?
Oh, myself?
Yeah.
Well, I was given some Rebel Slam stuff.
So yeah.
So I got that. What else did I buy? Oh, I bought Giga Robo. That was my big purchase.
Yes, Giga Robo. It's a board game with giant super robots fighting each other.
Yeah, kind of in the anime style.
Yeah, it's much more anime than GKR or even Monsterpocalypse.
Yeah, so that was cool. Did I pick up anything? Because I didn't really need a lot of things. I mean, I didn't really need the Rome Slam, but, you know, if you're going to give it to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you didn't go crazy. It wasn't like Gen Con. You were pretty, you knew what you wanted, and you got what you wanted, and that was about it.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I got the National Champion Objectives for Flames of War, which were Stargate pieces. One of them was the Stargate esophagus. Sarcophagus.
Yeah, you don't want an esophagus, so that's not great. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, at least there just wasn't a whole lot out there, you know, I mean.
Yeah, it seemed
I didn't get into Legion, so I didn't pick up any new stuff for Legion.
But even that, there wasn't that much new.
It just doesn't capture me, so.
Yeah. But it wasn't like, the year before was all Legion, so it was all, but this year it seemed like there's a lot of booths, but there wasn't anything that jumped out. There was no big game this year. The Cool Mini or Not booth was the same size as normal, but it was empty. Like, it just had some of the Song of Ice and Fire stuff.
Yeah.
The Guild Ball guys had barely anything, cause their booth was teeny. Like, the only booths that were normal size were Mantic and
Reaper.
Reaper and Weird. Like, even the Battle Foam one was smaller. Like, Secret Weapons was smaller. Like, everybody kind of downsized, it seemed. It was kind of weird. Yeah.
What else? There was something else I was going to say.
I don't know.
We had talked about it, and then just totally went out of my head now.
Do you think we're just getting jaded in the fact that years past, it was a spectacle, and now it's the same old, or was it just, is it just that there's not that big thing being, you know, it's not a big must have game out there this year or last year.
That's what I think I don't think anyone had a huge release. I mean, we had War Vanguard stuff.
And Hellboy. So
and Hellboy,
I mean, everybody, like you said, it was waiting for even, the Kickstarter.
Fantasy Flight, they had a big announcement for Clone War, but they didn't have it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, like the Legion area was last year, you couldn't get near it. You couldn't even see it. But this year it was pretty quiet. It wasn't like a crazy, like I think the first day there was a bunch of there was some exclusives. So people were running to places and that's why it was really busy the first couple days. And I know even the BattleTech guys, they were selling out those mats pretty quick. Like there were certain things that were exclusives almost. But generally there wasn't anything that was crazy. Like there was no new games or anything big. Like nobody, I guess there was some announcements that of some big games coming out, but what was
it? Yeah, but no one had a Nepticon release, but us, I don't think.
Yeah.
That would be a lie. I'm just,
nothing big though. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. There was nothing like usually you walk around, and you, like even Tyler, when you saw the, Terracotta Warriors that one year. There was nothing like that this year, or even Parabellum last year. There was nothing like that stood out, really. Did you see anything, Tyler?
I get where you guys are coming from for sure. I do think that this year was better balanced than like last year, because last year you did have that big release of Star Wars Legion. It seemed like a lot of things were geared towards that or were that. So I thought this was a better balance between the things. But like you guys are saying, there wasn't a whole lot of brand new stuff, and no one was coming out with massive games or anything. I did think the Creature Caster was new, and that was pretty cool to see. And that was a pretty big booth.
Those guys are the. That's going to be the new painting competition.
Yeah, they had some really nice giant monsters there and busts and stuff. Yeah,
a lot of good artists like James Wappler are involved with that Creature Caster. So.
But yeah, I don't think anyone's getting particularly, jaded or anything. But I think we're not desensitized, but we're getting more used to seeing, the spectacle of it. Because listening to someone like Jeremy Duvall from Countercharge, he's never been to Adepticon and he was blown back like I was in 2017. So, I think it was a really good show, and like I said, I think the balance is better this year, which I thought yielded a better vendor hall that was more interesting.
But you didn't buy anything either, though, did you?
Well, I typically try not to buy too much stuff because stuff happens to end up in my lap a lot. So, I didn't go crazy with purchases, but there wasn't really anything I was seeking to buy. Yeah. And then you also handed me like a pound and a half or 2 pounds of Reaper miniatures.
Yeah.
So that covered a lot of bases too.
Yeah. Well, I guess that is, that's the thing too. We end up with, between the swag bags and people trading stuff and giving people stuff, like I ended up, Coach gave Fabian a bunch of Cthulhu role-playing game books to give to me, so that filled up a huge area. And then, so it's like, well, I bought some BattleTech books, so my bag is getting heavier and heavier with books, so there's less incentive to buy more when you're like, this is getting heavy.
That's why I got a box of Song of Fire and Ice sitting on my floor in my living room.
Well, that was later. That was Monday that happened.
I need to lighten the load.
Yeah. But yeah, Sunday, and then it was breakdown. We did that really quick. Once again, we had a lot of help again. There was a lot of people there to break down. And it was, it almost went too quick, I think, because we just got everything in and done, and we're just kind of like, okay. And, broke up at that point. Tyler had to catch a flight. You were heading Shane home.
Brian had to catch a flight.
The British
Rob,
people.
Andy, and everyone had to catch a flight, so.
Yep, that's kind of how Sunday goes.
So yeah, we were left to our own devices. It was Jack, me and Pat. Was there anybody else? Oh yeah, it was Rick and Brian Novak and Dom, their buddy Dom. all we ended up having to go back to the warehouse, put everything away, which worked out well. And Pat was able to unload some Mars attacks on people as prize support, so that was good.
And some L's.
Needless to say, Michigan's going to be filled with Mars attacks players. And yeah, so that was good. And then they headed out, and John Jack headed out at that point. So it was just me, Pat, and Jack left, the last three stragglers. And we stayed at Pat's that night, so that was good. We got to relax and hang out together. Dude, what did we do for dinner that night?
Oh, we went to Fat Willie.
Oh, that's right. We went to this barbecue place. It was, yeah, so we have these, I was like, I'm hungry. I'm like super hungry going there. The smells when we walked in the door were amazing. It was like, oh my God, this is going to be so good. We got, what was it? A
pulled pork nachos.
Nachos to start. Now down on that. That's great. Then we get all of our food and it was so much food. I nearly died eating it. Jack hadn't eaten much that weekend, so he actually was able to finish his.
Well, I wasn't hungry. Let's preface this. We're sitting at Pat's, and he's like, I want to go get something to eat. And I'm expecting someplace close and easy.
Yes.
Pat's exhausted and in pain. By that point, you know, standing in that booth for days and days and days, Pat's poor legs were you know, just bloodied stumps at that point. So, but when Pat says, hey, let's get something to eat, he's not talking, let's go to McDonald's down the corner. He's going to where he knows you're going to enjoy some good, unique food. So the drive there was, I was like, oh, this is taking a while. And I wasn't that hungry. I didn't care.
It was not very far, but it was a lot of traffic.
Yeah, yeah. But Rob was like, oh, I'm starving. But you were still kind of sick. So, but I ate everything that was put in front of me for not being hungry.
I remember when we walked in, you guys were like, you don't get this in Canada.
Yeah. The smell was amazing. Yeah. It was really good. I just couldn't eat it all. And, yeah, that was, then we crashed. I think we all slept well that night.
Yeah, I needed to. I was a wreck.
Yeah. And next day we got to go to, what's the name of the Japanese place?
Mitsuya.
Mitsuya, which is a Japanese market, but they also have a store that sells ridiculous amounts of Gundams and other stuff. And it was...
Yeah, bookstore. It's a bookstore.
It was pretty impressive. And we had a nice Japanese breakfast, or Japanese lunch, I should say.
Yeah.
And we ended up, as we always do, on the last day, we always go to Pat's friendly local game store. What's the name?
Games Plus.
Games Plus. And we get in there, and they had some more Battletech stuff. They actually had the Alpha Strike, which I've been looking for a long time, at cover price. So it was amazing. So I bought that. And another book. And then I had too much stuff, so I had to get rid of something. So I gave Pat Song, Ice, and Fire to lessen our load. So in the end, Jack and I bought these swag bags, and we didn't end up with much from them at all. Oh, you got to also explain where the rest of your swag bag is, Jack.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. At first, Jeff Burbage had said, hey, you know what? Because he lives relatively close. He said, I'll if we can arrange it Sunday, because he needs to leave. He was driving. He needed to leave early. So if the moon's aligned, he very graciously offered to take some of the load off. But it didn't. No fault of his or anyone's. It just didn't happen. So I was on the hook for I don't know how. I don't know what was going to happen.
I think we would just end up having to pay for an extra bag or try to smuggle on his carry-on luggage or.
So then I said to Pat, okay, this is the situation. He goes, well, I'll flat pack it to you. That's no problem. I'll mail it to you. So I was like, oh, okay. So at that point, that's the point, because it was still early enough when Pat had made that offer on Sunday. I should have made the purchases I wanted to make knowing that it was okay. But I was still like, you know, I don't want to put anyone out. Don't want them, you know. But when we were done tearing down, Rick Hall, offered to, take my, so it's not in Canada yet, but there's a board game and some stuff in the swag bag proper than the bag itself. awaiting, he just has to get to Canada at some point.
It got slightly closer. It's in Lansing, Michigan now. And he's hoping that, Jeff Burbage goes down to Michigan for a Dread Ball tournament or something sometime and bring it back. And then we have to go up to wherever, Hamilton probably, to play Jeff at some games to get that swag bag. So it's gonna be an adventure if he ever ends up with this stuff.
But you guys remember when we were done at the storage and we'd cleaned up and everything, and we were sending them on their way, speaking of, and, I said, okay, I'm sorry about, you don't have that much room. You have to be saddled with my nonsense too, right? Like I'm feeling guilty. And then at some point, Pat goes, they were trying to pack the car and they were trying to get it in through the door. And Pat goes, well, just close the door, open the front window and hock it into the back. And I'm like, what's going on back there? And they were throwing elves. They had so much stuff that they had to close all the doors of the back with Dom in the back.
Poor Dom.
And throw stuff in through the front windows so that when they reached the destination, obviously they'd open the doors and it would all pour out. That car was, it was a big size car. Like Brian's car is not it wasn't a tiny compact. It wasn't a Fiat Panda. It's up past the windowsills, all this stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was pretty much it. And then we flew home and it was, easy peasy. Once again, our baggage came off like first. Once again, I said, no way it's going to happen. It didn't happen. So.
Let's not say easy peasy. I still say. Oh,
you got to tell about your shoe.
God, I had a small hole. The sole had come apart a little bit at one point, and I said, "Okay, it's going to last a week, no problem." Then I was walking past the bit straighter area, and some kid flat tired me, so. Tore a little bit. Okay, not a big deal. Like, literally, I walked around the Japanese market, and Rob knows, I don't want to be a burden to anyone. Like, me being the slowest person bothers me. Me being, like, don't think about me not being able to just move with the crowd. So anyways, we get to the airport. Shoes fine. I get to the other side. I do the back scanner thing. The
security, yeah.
The TSA, scrutinizes me, and he goes, okay, I need to see your left leg. And he pats down my left leg and he's up and down near my shin for a long time. Why is that? I get my stuff on the other side, go to put my shoe on, and my shoe, the sole is almost completely off. It was the left shoe. Someone must have grabbed it, saw a little hole, and went, oh, there's something in there, and just tore the sole off my shoe. So, I'm walking through the airport, and literally I had to drag my, well, at first when I was walking, it was going clunk slap, clunk slap, clunk slap, and I'm so embarrassed, and I'm,
and he's walking like Quasimodo, it's like dragging his foot, oh my god.
At one point, I had to, through the whole terminal, just slide my foot.
And we're at the very last gate, of course.
So as I'm verbal Kenting it down the street, here and Rob, you know, he's feeling bad for me because he knows me,
but it's just like, so like, goddamn funny.
So at the end he goes, we get there, and I'm like, I go to the bathroom, and there's a bathroom right there, and that one was closed, so I have to go all the way back the other way, and Rob finally goes, just use your shoelace and tie your sole.
We decided to like make a sandal out of his shoe. He had to tie his shoelace around the bottom of his shoe to hold on his thing, just to get, you know, we just had to get to the airport, or to Buffalo.
I had to get on a plane and sit on a plane with this makeshift shoe. But it was
this is all in O'Hare.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
There was a scrap left holding in the front. And I mean, maybe a centimeter or two of the sole attached to the very, very tip of my toe of the shoe. And when we got home, I knew I couldn't drive safely.
Yeah, you had to switch shoes.
Rob off at his house. So I had to come into the house and switch shoes. And they literally, as soon as I took the lace off, it just fell apart. It was done.
Wow. That's quite the saga. You guys. I was just along for the ride, honestly.
Oh man, it was funny.
We talked about, but the funny thing is, we had talked about that boot over dinner, and then it fell apart on you.
Oh yeah, yeah, it was holding on, but yeah, the flat tire didn't help, and then yeah, the TSA finished her off. But yeah, but we made it back safe and sound, easy peasy.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, great time. Let's wrap this up. We're going too long. So everybody, Tyler, please let everybody know how you liked Adepticon and where we can find you.
You guys already know the answer to this if you listen to this podcast for any length of time. I love Adepticon. I'll be back next year. And you can follow me on Paint All the Minis and Dreadpad Zone. Short, quick, easy, to the point. On to the next one.
Yeah, we'll have the links in the show notes. And Pat, please, how did you like Adepticon, and where can we find you?
I love Adepticon, and you can always find me in the booth.
He's always in the booth somewhere.
Always in the booth somewhere, except for the one time I tried to find some time to myself, and the Dreadball people made me take a picture of him.
Bastards.
Eating your personal pizza all by yourself, thinking you're just getting a moment to yourself, but not to be.
Not to be.
And Mantic North America, is it still happening?
It's still happening.
So you got a podcast. We'll have a link to that. And you're also doing, what's the next convention? What's it called again?
Little Wars.
Yeah.
In Lombard, Illinois, April 28th.
So if you're just listening to this, if you're in that Chicagoland area, go to that. Say hi to Pat.
Yep.
And yeah. And then we're got nothing to plug. Right, Jack? How do you like Adepticon?
It was good. I guess I have to go back next year to
that's right.
Either receive or give a bottle of whiskey. I'm on the hook for that now.
That's right. You didn't. You can't even say, maybe I'll just skip a year. It's you always say. And yeah, Pat is also on a great podcast called Mobile Armor Radio, where we talk about mechs. So come over and watch. Come listen to that if you're interested in mechs and mecha and other things like that.
Anything robot.
Right. And until next time, it'll be a shorter episode, and we'll talk about things that maybe we have to catch up on, a lot of shoutouts and news, because we have a lot of news and shoutouts for next episode. And I've been Rob.
I'm Jack.
I'm Chopper.
And I'm Tyler.
You almost forgot your name, Tyler.
Well, I thought about going with something quippy, and I decided just not, and then I sound like a fool for not going with something quippy, so that's a good way to end the show.
Have
a good one, everyone.
Yep. And we'll be back. The slow march to 100. Bye-bye.
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 Tyler, say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions.
Hey guys, this is Mal the Train Shooter, and I've got to say, yeah, Dead Zone the Podcast is A1 awesome. If you're not watching it yet or listening to it yet, get on it.
Hello?
Oh, I can hear you.
Hello? Jack?
Is Jack no longer with us?
Is Jack dead?
No!
That guy. Always f***ing around. He's probably telling stories right now. Was I about to throw it to you? Because I threw it to you and you weren't there.
yeah, it was something. And I started talking and I was like, Usually someone would have chimed in by now.
Someone would have interrupted me by now.
Yeah.
So we're talking about EIG.